about the omnipotence of God and the eternality of God and how God himself is power. As I was studying this and the help that I had from it, it's amazing what I learned from it. I believe that this lesson here is interesting, that it came right after sanctification. Because when I consider the omnipotence, the power of God, if it wasn't for the power of God in my life, I probably wouldn't be sanctified today. I wouldn't be. So I'm thankful for the brothers that have spoken this morning. But I'm also thankful for the opportunity to say that I understand even the last lesson, because you can be enslaved, but you can get past it and look back at it and say, I don't know why I did that. The omnipotence of God is defined in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Of course, when we consider the omnipotence of God in the Hebrew, it is seen as El Shaddai, the Almighty. God himself is the Almighty. You have your notes. Do y'all have notes of my lesson right now? No, that's not it. I know that I... Well, somebody needs to go get it, and then I'll just keep on going. From Brandt. The Hebrew word for El Shaddai means to spoil, to waste, to destroy, almighty, most powerful. We consider those great and powerful words, and we understand why God would use those particular words. In the Greek, we see the Greek word pantakletor, which literally means almighty, absolute and universal sovereign. He who holds sway over all things. As I was considering that particular definition, it caused me to think about 1 John 5 and verse number 19, the New King James Version, and the devil and how he has sway over the world. I thought that was pretty interesting. The world lieth sway in the hands of the wicked one. When we consider the Greek word pantakletor, the root word for panto is pas, meaning all or all things or everything. And the word kratos, which means power, dominion, mighty, or strength. The omnipotence of God should be studied, should not be studied alone. Brother John will be talking about the omniscience of God. But as one good brother, Brother Rodriguez and I was talking a few weeks ago, and I put it in the notes because it was interesting, because I didn't put those together. I didn't put together the omnipotence of God and the omniscience of God. But you can't have one without the other. You've got to study them together. But we're going to parse it today, and I'm just going to be dealing with the omnipotence of God and let John deal with the omniscience of God. The omnipotence of God, when we understand it, we understand it being the power of God. Yet the omniscience of God, God is all-knowing. Now, that's interesting because Job 37 and verse number 16, Elihu would say that God is perfect in knowledge. There's nothing that God doesn't know. And there's nothing that God can't do. He can do all things. He knows all things. I'm reminded of a study I did on 2 weeks ago. And how God knows the thoughts of man before it enters into his thoughts. So, going back to that last class, God knows when you're ready to go and view pornography before you even go to the app. He knows all things. God's understanding is infinite. So what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at some of these things. In Job 42 and verse 42, take notice what the Bible here says. And as I was studying this, sitting in my office, hours upon hours of looking at the the omnipotence of God. And it's interesting that when you're studying something new, if I can say it that way, that things begin to come together slowly. But when I found this verse in the office all by myself, I'm in there like, whoa, this is good stuff right here, boy. I remember on many days, man, I'm like, whoa, and Pope Joy say, what are you learning? Boy, I miss that old man next door to me. Job 42 in verse number 2, we see the omnipotence and the omniscience of God in one verse. Here, Job says, I know that you can do everything, omnipotence, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you, omniscience. In one verse, brother Light, don't tell me God is not powerful. Wow. God is sovereign. He's all-powerful. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11, notice what the Bible there says. And I think that if there was one verse that I wanted to make sure that I got in, it would be 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 11 with David. And he says something as he blesses the people. And as an elder, I was thinking about this. I'm like, when was the last time the elders blessed God in front of the people? Time, I think we don't know how to bless God in front of the people. Sometimes we are so heaven bound with no earthly good. I'm talking about myself. Here David says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Friends, the omnipotence of God, powerful. We stop and we consider these things. God is sovereign. The omnipotence of God is always logical. God will never do anything illogical. If it can be done, God can do it. Therefore, making him all-powerful. Which means that if it's illogical, don't ask God to do it because he can't do it. Hence, when we understand God's omnipotence, only he has the power to limit himself. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, when we understand miracles have ceased. And friends, that's all miracles have ceased. God puts limits upon himself. The very fact that God is omniscient, all-knowing, makes him all-powerful. For knowledge is power. Isaiah 40 and verse 26. A few things I want us to discuss as it relates to God's power, being omnipotent, all-powerful. Hebrew uses of El Shaddai is so amazing. As I was studying this, I thought about the El Shaddai of the Old Covenant and how when God identified himself to Abraham, to Abraham, in Genesis 17 and verse number 1, he identified himself as El Shaddai, omnipotent, almighty. He identifies himself to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, Genesis 28:3, Genesis 35:11, Genesis 48 and verse number 3, he identifies himself to Joseph as El Shaddai. Power is clearly seen. Yet, I found it very interesting when he introduced himself to Moses in Exodus 6 and verse number 3. He didn't introduce himself approach Moses as El Shaddai, even though he was still almighty. How did he introduce himself? He introduced himself as Jehovah, I am. Not only is God omnipotent, God is self-existing. meaning that he doesn't need anything or anyone else to exist. God will be God whether or not a person believes that he is God or not. I remember talking to Brother Jason the other day on the phone, and both of us were pretty riled up. That don't take much. Sometimes I say, man, get off the phone with me, because you and I, we're not doing anybody no good right now. But he said something that I really appreciated. He said, when I was thinking about putting this lesson together, this report, I didn't take a poll to see who would like it or not. God didn't take a poll to see if anybody would accept him as El Shaddai or Jehovah. He's God all by himself. The more that I thought about that, if God is not the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one in my life, then I'm the one not benefiting. God is God. Omnipotent, all-powerful, self-existing one, the eternal one. But back to El Shaddai. When we consider some of the Greek usages and applications, young people consider. When we consider the Godhead is omnipotent. The more that I was thinking about this and considering some of these great points, it caused me to think about the Almighty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through verse 18, here we see this Greek word, pantokratos, being used. And in the New King James Version, the version in which I read and study from, I found it very interesting how God, through the Apostle Paul, is addressing the Corinthian church. The more that I thought about this, the power, the Almighty God, the Omnipotent One, and how Paul was pleading with the Corinthians to come out from among them and be ye separate. God, do you have a right to command people to come out from among idolatry, from fornication, from uncleanness, from unholiness? Do you have that right, Jehovah? I have that right. Some children don't believe that their parents have the right to tell them what to do. They have that right. God has delegated power to the parents to tell the children what to do. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the commandment says. In verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 4, an idol is nothing. For you are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. That's grace right there. Be separate, saith the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And notice the promise, I'll receive you. No separation, no reception. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters. Notice the intimacy in the relationship. Says the Lord, Pantokratos, Almighty. The omnipotence of God is seen in the Old Covenant as well as the New Covenant. We understand that if I want to experience the benefits of the omnipotence of God in my life, I got to be separate from sin. Jesus is referred to that in Revelation 1, verse 8, and Revelation 4, verse 8. But turn to Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, and I struggled with Revelation 19 to be very precise, to see whether or not, is this talking about the Father or talking about the Lamb? The believe that the text and context clearly gives us the specifics that we don't have to talk in general talking about God, but talking about the Lamb. Jesus himself is the Pantokrator. He is the Almighty. He is the Omnipotent One. Those who don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, that's foolish. He is the Omnipotent One. He is the one, according to verse number 6, they exclaim, Alleluia, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Friends, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is the Omnipotent One. It is God who reigns through Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Salvation, glory, honor, and power belong it unto him. Brother Stubblefield, that's powerful. That Jesus Christ is all powerful. He's the one that we go to God through. No wonder spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5. The all-powerful one is the one that we're going through to get to the all-powerful one, who is God the Father. Jesus is almighty. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we see that. The almighty one, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's make some application real quick. We understand the Bible demonstrating to us, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, 1 Peter 2, and verse number 2, growing in grace. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so we understand that we're all growing. Good, we need to. But do you know that whether I'm an infant in Christ, or if I'm an adolescent in Christ, or if I'm mature in Christ, whether or not, what stage you're in, God has to be omnipotent in your life. And he has to be. He has to be omnipotent in your marriage, omnipotent in your preaching, in your eldership. God has to be the omnipotent one. If not, why not? And so the more that I was considering this, I was thinking about the power of God in my life. I got to stand before God to give an answer of the things that I've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. I'm not going to stand before God for nobody else but myself. And so, therefore, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, all knees, black knees, white knees, Japanese, Chinese, all knees are going to stand before God. Make sure that your knees are holy. Make sure that your knees understand the omnipotence of God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And as a child of God, I don't want to go anywhere without God knowing where I am. And if I can't take God with me, the power of God with me, I shouldn't be going there anyway, whether it's physical or mental. And so I was considering the power of God. Let's consider the power of God, the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God should be considered in the life of his people. Look at Revelation 19, look at verse 7 and 8. When I was pondering this and considering it, looking at its context, looking at verse by verse, struggling with it, come to find out that God wants his people, nothing new. He wants his people to be a righteous people, but he uses adjectives that are very powerful. Notice what he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb, John 1:29, has come, and his wife, bride of Christ, the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed, notice, in fine linen. John, what is this fine linen? Clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So as I was pondering that, Brother Corey, I was thinking the righteous acts of the saints, fine linen, the omnipotence of God, a triangle. Oh, they go hand in hand. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? God will always be omnipotent. The fine linen and the righteous acts go together, but Can that triangle be broken? Of course. If I'm not righteous. If God is not all powerful in my life. If I think that my prestige, my power, my money, I learned some things about men. I learned that men love power. Our jobs, money that we have, the status that we have, the things that we own, should not be that which defines us. I tell people all the time, if you think it does, die and find out. If we brought nothing into this world, certainly we'll take nothing out. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are we running after? What are we chasing? Some men are chasing skirts. Some men are chasing power. Some men are chasing power and skirts. Friends, let's chase God. Oh, but he's not far from us. He's not running from us. God's power, his omnipotence. When I think about that fine linen and the righteousness, I thought about Jesus. Look at Acts 10. In Acts 10, we see an example in verse number 38. When someone gets that, raise your voice up and read that verse. We see an example of Jesus Christ and the power of God in his life. We're followers of Christ. We're walking in his, behind him, in his steps, whereunto he suffered. In the context of suffering, whereunto he suffered. Leaving us a hupogrammaton, an example that we should follow in his steps. Doesn't matter if life is good or not so good, Brother Shreffis. We ought to follow Christ. In Acts 10 and verse 38, who has that?
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them.
Jesus went about doing good by the power of God. Do you understand that according to Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, the church was created for good? That's why we were created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That we should do what? Walk therein. We ought to be zealous for good works. The omnipotence of God is not for us to just look at and say, wow, God is powerful. Allow that power to be translated into our lives. Sometimes when my wife is hard-headed, well, I got to use some power. And when I'm hard-headed-er, that ain't even a word. It is now, baptized me. My wife is not hard-headed, but I am. She put that word on me. She does. Get your good woman that knows the word. Young man, get you a good woman that understands the power of God. My wife told me one time, Mike, I ain't worried about you doing nothing. God will tell me. I'm serious. I said, how dare you tell me something like that? I believe you. Sitting there walking around, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. She said, I ain't scared of you. You better be scared of the one whom I belong to. Why are you talking to me like that? Because she understands the power of God in her life, the omnipotence of God. So we understand the creation. We understand we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We see all of these great things. But friends, unless it's in your mind, in your heart, in your will, it's just words. To the atheist that doesn't believe in the power of God, I'm not trying to be mean, but one day you'll find out that God is all powerful. And so when we consider God's power, the word, see that power in his word. word according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. So therefore, good work, righteous acts, are a direct result of the omnipotence of God working in us. A few things I want us to take note of. Look at Revelation 1, verse 8. I find it interesting. Revelation 1, 8, 4, 8, 11, 17. You go back and you check out the other two. But the omnipotence of God is associated with the who is, who was, and who is to come. You look at those verses, Brother Light, it's powerful. The one who is, who was, coming back. Never discount that in our lives. Never discount that. Revelation 1 and verse number 8, notice what the Bible says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Panta Kratos, the Almighty, the Omnipotent. Jesus is omnipotent. I think it's Isaiah 44, verse number 6, if I'm not mistaken, as it relates to Jesus, the Word, being the King or Jehovah. Is that right, Isaiah 44, verse 6? John Hall, make sure I'm right on that. I believe it's Isaiah 44, verse 6. Just want to kind of make that an aside, and I don't really want to go there, but it's amazing. Some people don't look at Jesus as the Almighty, the Omnipotent One. Jehovah's Witnesses don't see Jesus as the Omnipotent One, but I find it interesting that Jesus calls him the Panta Kratos, the Almighty, the Omnipotent One. God calls him that, but man won't call him that. Is that right, Isaiah 44, verse 6? What does that say, John?
Thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer of the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, beside me there is no God.
There it is.
You look up that word Jehovah, look up that word King or Redeemer, and both of them are Jehovah. Friends, don't let nobody talk you out of God, or Jesus, I'm sorry, being omnipotent. He is. He's almighty. He's the Krata, or the Panta Kratos. Powerful concept. Yet, when we understand the wrath of the Almighty, Jesus, is to strike the nations with a sharp sword. Amari French, what is that sharp sword? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One thing I love about Jesus, he'll cut you. The one thing I love about Jesus, he's not like a thug. He's not going to cut you and let you bleed out. He'll heal you too. He'll cut you, that's right. He'll cut you going and coming. He'll. The omnipotence of God. Number five, God's omnipotence is seen in the system of creation. The more I was considering these thoughts and thinking about how powerful God is, already knew that. You already know that. But to put it in some type of outline form, to actually see it with your eyes, it's like being young in your marriage and you and your spouse, you sit down and you got X amount of dollars coming in and you put it on paper and you say, okay, we got $1,500 a month coming in. I'm just talking about what we had coming in. And we got $1,200 going out. Maybe we only got $300 to play with every month. I mean, you can't be going everywhere else spending all that money. Trying to help y'all out. You better learn how to budget. Man, the omnipotence of God in budgeting. Because if not, God's power won't help you when y'all are fighting over that money. That's free. You ain't got to give me nothing for that either. Look at Zechariah 12. In Zechariah 12, when we consider power demonstrated in creation. Zechariah 12, verse 1. We're not just just stringing passages along, we're thinking about concepts and how powerful God is. We understand when in the beginning God said it was. We understand that. And the benefit that man has because of the creation. God did good, leaving himself without witness. But notice Zechariah 12, verse number 1, the oracle, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus saith the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Notice two things that we see about the omnipotence and the power of God. His ability to stretch out the heavens, to lay down the foundation, and to form spirit. Sometimes, even in our own prayer life, we don't believe that God has the power to work in our lives. When we go to the Word of God, we study, transform us. Friends, God is powerful. He's very powerful. Notice Jeremiah 32. In Jeremiah 32, familiar passage of Scripture to those who study the Scriptures. I love this because in Jeremiah's prayer, he says something about God, and then God comes around and says the same thing about himself. There's one thing when we're preaching, and then you can go to the Word of God, and it is substantiated. The last thing you want to do, we want to do, is to preach something that God didn't say. There's no power in that. Jeremiah 32, in verse number 17, here, the Bible demonstrates to us. Let's put, 17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Do we believe that? Brother Dendy, do we believe that? But drop down to verse 27. 26 and 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord. Listen, friends, this is God speaking. The God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Brother McCormack, answer that question. I wasn't on the panel. But a person contemplating suicide, or this ain't nothing too hard for God, I'm going to hang in there. Temptation to do some things that I shouldn't be doing, nothing too hard for God. You know what? I'm going to go to the Scriptures. I'm going to apply this to my life. Friends, if they're just words on a piece of paper, that's all it will ever be for you. Omnipotence of God is so powerful. Elihu, he declares the power of God. Job 37. This power is demonstrated through the creation, as we stated before. Let me give you a couple passages that I thought were just powerful, just amazing to me. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 6, and the circuit of the wind. Wind have a circuit? The wind is not going anywhere that God doesn't want it to go. The sun has a circuit. Psalm 19 in verse number 4 through 6. The circuit of the solar system. It knows exactly where to go and it knows exactly where not to go. It will never get out of order. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 7, even the sea has channels. Friends, this is by design. Nothing happens by accident. Psalm 107 and verse number 25, and his power to command the winds, lifting up the waves of the sea. God is all powerful. And so then that caused me to think about the power of Jesus Christ when he was upon the earth, the omnipotence of God. Colossians 1:16. But Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 26, remember Jesus calms the winds and the waves, and he says, hush. Be still. It's funny that the winds and the waves obey Jesus and men won't. There's a time to talk, there's a time to just plain shut up, Mike. You see, I said that to me. Sometimes we want to talk too much. Shut up, Mike. And then sometimes when I want to shut up, I ought to be talking. Say something, Mike. Yet, here Jesus, the very thing that was giving the apostles, the disciples, a problem in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is walking on top of it. And in Matthew chapter 8, hush. The winds and the waves that was just flowing and being boisterous, that's power. We need to preach those lessons. Yes, we need to preach the Psalms and the Proverbs and the poetic lessons, but we need to preach the power of Jesus Christ too. The omnipotence of God. Number six, the omnipotence of God in bringing in the Savior. Look at Jeremiah 31. I remember when I first learned this point, and Brother Light, I learned this point from Johnny Ramsey on that walking through the Bible. And I said to myself, man, where did this man get that verse from? The power of God, listen friends, the power of God to bypass a man to bring in the Savior. That's power. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 22, I'm not smart enough to make this up. How long will you gad about, you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass, go around, turn about a man. Genesis 3 verse 15. Matthew chapter 1 verses 17 and following. Friends, did you hear me? Why did God have to bypass a man to bring in the Son of Man? Because the Son of Man, the Word, John 1 and verse number 1, was there in the beginning. He couldn't come from the man seed because Jesus is the one that created the seed. That's power. Some of us think that we have so much power that men ought to bow down to us. Shut up. Get someone to sit down. We bow down to Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's where it stops. That's just big talk. No, it's not. That's Bible. If God, since God had the power to bypass man to impregnate a woman, Mary, friends, we ought to bow down to Jesus Christ. That's power. That's power. I thought about that word, compass. Don't have time to really deal with this, but as I was doing my word study, brother friends, I was looking at Genesis chapter 2, 11 and 13, and how those rivers went around Eden, the garden. And so it caused me to think about growing up in San Antonio, Texas. You got Luke 16:04, and you have Luke 4:10, and none of those loops ever go through San Antonio. God didn't have to go through man to bring in the Son of Man. God went around him. At first, I thought you were waving at me. I was about to say hi. Friends, did you get that point? That's power. There was a time, and I heard old people say this one time. I don't know what the church is going to do when the older generation dies off. And I heard another preacher get up behind him and say, die and find out. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Young men, we need you. We need you. We need you to stop playing. We need you to pay attention in worship. Pay attention to God. I remember on many occasions, rearing children, maybe you're not paying attention in worship. Yeah, I am, Daddy. No, you're not. Then they start making little decisions. I can tell. I'm telling you. And then grown men say, man, don't look like you're paying attention in worship. Don't tell me I'm not paying attention. Just tell me what it looked like. I'm preaching. I'm looking at you. Sitting there looking all crazy. Not paying attention. Then you wonder why your life's all jacked up. But just call it what it is. Young people, pay attention to God. Because if you don't pay attention to God, you're paying attention to something else. There's no power in man's words. The power is in the word of God. That's why when we get up here and we preach the word. Don't preach Mike. Don't preach Rick. Don't preach anyone else. You preach the word. But live it. The power is in the word. And so here we understand that the omnipotent God, he sees all things. He knows all things. He's everywhere. And that's why Satan is nothing to God. I remember on one occasion I saw this meme on Facebook and had God and the devil arm wrestling. I said, that's stupid. Ain't no arm wrestling God. You don't arm wrestle God. That's dumb. But let me give you some application. Some of us think that Satan is so powerful in our life that God can't help me. That's dumb. He can help you, but you got to submit to the power. I remember one time I was working on a car. Man, I didn't have any power to a certain point on the wind diagram. I was telling a couple guys about this the other day. Man, I spent days on that car. Foreman come over there. You check the fuse? Man, I said, it better not be the fuse. Check that fuse. The fuse was blown. Thing started working. Check the fuse. No, you check that fuse. There's something broke between you and God. Replace the fuse. Back on the power. Check the fuse. There's nothing wrong with the fuse burning out. The problem is when the fuse stay burnt out. Good night. About to say something crazy, and that's be the only thing y'all remember. No. No. I ain't stupid. I just look like this. I leave you with these 10 things, and got this again from a good brother. 10 qualities that make God mysterious. Number one, he's all powerful. All knowing, all present, all good, he's unchanging, he's infinite, he's mind, he's holy, he's just, and he's perfect. Y'all got that power.